Hi, and welcome to Intersection on KBIA. I'm Janet Saidi, and sitting in the studio with us this week is Columbia Mayor Brian Treese. Mayor Treese was elected in 2016. He's currently seeking a second term. Voters get to decide on that in April, and we'll have future conversations focused on that race. But first, we at KBIA wanted to just sit down with Mayor Treese to chat about recent changes in Columbia and what he feels is the best way forward for the city, which has faced challenges recently with the departure of its city manager and police chief following controversies surrounding community policing. And what are the other important issues that are ongoing in our city? That's a tall order and a lot to talk about. Mayor Treese, welcome.
Janet, it's great to be back with you.
So can you describe from your vantage point as the mayor, what has brought about the changes? What brought about the departure of the city manager and the police chief, particularly from your viewpoint?
Well, the city manager and more importantly, the mayor and city council reached unanimous consensus that it was in the best interest of our city to look for a new city manager that really reflected the values of transparency, prioritized community policing, and was really willing to make the necessary changes that we need to improve our city government.
Okay. What do you feel like we can learn from the challenges that we've faced in the last few weeks?
Well, I don't see them as challenges as much as opportunities. And, you know, for me as mayor, the opportunity to recruit and hire a new city manager who will in turn hire the next police chief for the city of Columbia is a rare opportunity. And I think being able to gather the vision of our community with respect to what types of values and attributes and personal characteristics they would like to see in the city manager is a great opportunity for our community to really position Columbia well into the next decade.
You mentioned that with the city council, it was, I think you said, unanimous. That shows, you know, very much people being on the same page. What would you say to people who say, wow, we've lost these two important positions? Are things in disarray? Or do you feel like it's a really positive thing that you were all able to bring about change and lockstep in some ways on the council?
I think it's very much a positive change. And all of the feedback that I've received from our community and various stakeholders has been extremely positive. You know, again, I think it's really an opportunity for us as elected decision makers to reflect what the community has been telling us. And the community has been telling me that they want change. And so I'm excited to help lead that change. And more importantly, to look forward into, you know, what are the values that we want to see in the person that runs the day-to-day operations of our city. You know, I think we can all agree, you know, at the end of the day, regardless of who the city manager is, we want our trash picked up and our streets cleared and the electricity to work. And then beyond that, how do we set the tone for the vision for how Columbia grows, for the values of transparency, and making our government more open, honest, and working for everybody?
And you made a good point that it wasn't just the council being sort of in lockstep on this issue, on the need for change, but it was actually brought about by community concerns. And there were those concerns largely surrounding community policing, it appears, from my vantage point. Would you say community policing was a big impetus in the change? And how do you feel like we should go forward?
Yeah, I think the community policing issue was probably the final straw for many council members. And you can look at, you know, over the last 2 years, the number of closed sessions we've had where we may have encouraged the city manager to be more you know, to be more aggressive in leadership in key certain areas. But for me, looking forward, I think the interim city manager, John Glasscock, is doing a great job. I expect him to appoint an interim police chief soon and really begin to operationalize the city council's priority with respect to community policing. How do we transform the Columbia Police Department into something that can best protect and serve the community it represents? And, you know, for me, the report that we received on community policing missed the mark. We don't need to raise taxes in order to raise expectations. And I'm looking for that type of transformational leadership, that culture change, if you will, that really puts the police department in more unity, infidelity with the community.
Okay, so it sounds like that police report, which, by the way, if you're listening, we will link to this at kbia.org, that police report was a factor.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the council unanimously adopted a resolution supporting community policing. We had a nearly year-long citizen engagement process. We had town hall meetings in every ward. We had, you know, a town hall in the city council lobby. And what we received in writing from that report really missed the mark. It fell flat with respect to those necessary changes that our community told us it wanted to see.
Okay.
And so, you know, for me, the new city manager, the new police chief are really going to have to pick up the mantle, if you will, and begin to reflect that vision that our community says they want with their police department.
Okay. Before we move on to next steps for the city mayor, Therese, what do you make of Boone County Sheriff Dwayne Carey's comments recently that the Boone County Sheriff's Department and the city police department should be merged?
Well, I think that type of collaboration occurs every day at the officer level on the front lines.
Okay.
Detectives share information every day. We know crime doesn't stop at the city limits. I'm opposed to a wholesale merger or, consolidation of our police department. What I do think the opportunity for a new police chief provides is the opportunity for more collaboration at the command staff level. And that's what I would like to see. Sheriff Carey's comments, I think really cross the line and don't reflect our community's values. And if anything, helps dramatize the difference between, public safety in the city and public safety in the county.
So it's interesting. I think the comments you're talking about was Sheriff Carey referred to racial profiling data that it doesn't tell you at all of the story, but it's a reflection of how policing is taking place. And, racial profiling is something that you and I think the council and community policing advocates really feel like should be taken seriously. Sheriff Carey kind of dismisses it as that's just showing problem-oriented policing.
Yeah, and that's not the model of policing that our community has said that they want in the city of Columbia. Look, the Attorney General's office says that our police department has higher and disproportionate minority contact. And we have asked as a council, the city manager and the new police chief to really get a handle on this vehicle traffic stop data, to really understand the numbers behind it. And, Sheriff Carey's comments really take us in the opposite direction. It's contrary to what the community has said they want.
Is there anything the mayor of Columbia can do to encourage or even hold accountable the sheriff to take a broader view of the constituents and reflect the community standards you're talking about?
Well, the sheriff is an elected official just like I am, and what I have control of is appointing a city manager who appoints the police chief and making this a priority and holding those individuals accountable. Public safety has been a priority for my administration. We all want our community to feel safe, but we also want the fair administration of justice, and that is exactly where this data comes from. If you want to change, I'm a firm believer that if you want to change what is going on, you first have to measure it. And the measurements that we are seeing suggest that there is an unfair administration of that justice. And so I think, I want to make our government work for everybody. And to do that, it requires that type of attitude to permeate all decision makers in our city government.
Okay, I've noticed this about you, Mayor Tracy. You like data to go on. What for you are the next steps, or can you just explain what the next steps are for the hiring of a city manager and police chief?
Well, the city council most recently approved a contract with a search firm, a not-for-profit entity that helps municipalities recruit city leaders. And we've identified a set of stakeholders that will help provide input on the values and attributes and professional characteristics of that individual. We will craft a community recruitment, a job description, if you will. I think Columbia is a great place to live, and I think it will be a great destination for a potential city manager candidate, either from another college town with a population similar to Columbia, or a larger city where this person may have served as a deputy city manager, or a city manager that has really has the experience beyond, you know, the everyday functions of city government, to really focus on financial transparency, community policing reform, and those other value-added services that we want to see in the next city manager. That whole process probably takes 90 to 120 days. I was impressed with the firm that we contracted with because of their superior citizen engagement process. We're going to have two town hall meetings coming up where we will gather public input. They will meet with council to identify those values and that we would like to see in that next leader, but then help us recruit potential candidates. And after the city council narrows down that list of finalists, we will have an opportunity to debut some of those finalists with the community and let the community give us input about the individual that that we're considering here. Of course, the final decision will be from the mayor and city council, and that'll happen sometime in May or June of this year.
All right. A detailed question about the next steps for the hiring of a city manager. Is John Glasscock at all interested in the job?
John Glasscock is doing a great job. He is a strong leader with high expectations. And if anything, John's service as interim city manager has given me and the city council the luxury of time that we don't have to rush into a decision. I will tell you, it'll be very difficult for me not to evaluate potential city manager candidates against the job that Mr. Glasscock is already doing. And, you know, as he's now been in this position a little over 60 days, and you know, the energy, the transparency, the decision making that he brings to this role is refreshing to me, and I know to the rest of council.
We've just seen a press release from the Columbia Police Officers Association criticizing a police lieutenant for their Twitter messages, yeah, and also being on the same page as the current city manager, John Glasscock. So that was kind of interesting. That it's a skill to bring people along into the culture and the community standards, as you call them, that we as a city decide that we have.
I agree. And, you know, if anything, I think that illustrates, you know, the how offensive those remarks were. And, you know, while I disagree with the personnel decision that was made there, under our charter, it is, I do respect Acting Police Chief Schlute's authority to make that decision. I worry that it sends the wrong message, that it's not fair to police officers who go to work every day and do their job well. And ultimately, it's not fair to taxpayers that, you know, we would pay a lieutenant salary who can't have contact with the public. But I understand the First Amendment restrictions on that decision. And if anything, it dramatizes for me the importance of having a police chief, a city manager, and a mayor that leads by example. And these types of offensive, racist, misogynistic tweets are unacceptable in any leader. And I think that's ultimately what our community wants with respect to the values that we share.
Okay. You're listening to Intersection on KBIA. I'm Janet Saidi. Our guest today is Columbia Mayor Brian Treese. We're talking about changes in the city of Columbia, community policing, some of the issues the city is tackling to make Columbia a great place to live from the mayor's point of view. You can see more on this discussion at kbia.org. So we're in a studio, but if we were just across the city sort of getting breakfast at Ernie's Diner and I said, hey, what's on your to-do list? What's on your radar? What would you say?
You know, it's like I'm focused on continuing my term as mayor and really solidifying the values and the promises that I made when I was elected 3 years ago. That was making our government open, honest, and transparent, making sure that our economy works for everybody, and remain focused on those that long-term vision for the city of Columbia. Of course, you know, every week is different. We had another homicide Saturday morning. You know, we have initiated this the beginning of the search process for the city manager today. We've got severe cold weather coming in that may delay city services this week. All of those things go into, you know, a robust city, full-service city, and you know, and in the meantime, continuing to move the agenda forward with respect to development and infrastructure and creating jobs and protecting our economy.
It's interesting. We tend to talk about long-range plans a lot, the airport, climate change, development, and it's easy to forget that homicides and storms and blizzards are actually on your to-do list. And something that you have to deal with in your day-to-day.
It is. And that's why having a, you know, a sophisticated city manager that can handle those day-to-day operations of the city is so important, so that the mayor and elected members of the city council can focus on that vision, can focus on that long-range horizon for the city, and to really set the tone with respect to our policy and priorities that our great, you know, 1,500 city employees implement on a daily basis.
Okay. You've recently called again for an audit of the city, which at least one council member has been quoted as saying is too expensive. How much would it cost, and is it worth the expense, do you feel?
I absolutely think it's worth the expense. And in the whole context of our, you know, budget, it's a very small investment. I think this is the right time at the conclusion of a city manager's term, before we hire a new city manager, to really identify a roadmap of potential problems or improvements that exist. And, you know, a performance audit is different from a financial audit. A financial audit, you know, tells us that all the numbers add up. A performance audit looks at how do we improve operations and policies and procedures and processes to really make sure that the taxpayers are getting the value that they're paying for. And I think more than ever, we're on the right track. You know, I've called for a performance audit by the state auditor's office. They do this type of work for municipalities all the time. The cost is somewhere between $500,000 and $750,000. But it's a three-year document that really gives us a roadmap. I think the findings of this performance audit would more than pay for themselves. I also think it is our responsibility to make Columbia as efficient as possible. And for me, this is a top priority that reinforces to the public that that we're being transparent, that we're financially conservative, and fiscally prudent.
And you've mentioned you'd like to have data that will help provide a map for the new staff going forward as well.
Absolutely. You know, the about the only time the city council really digs into the budget is during that appropriations process. And, you know, we pass a budget and then we expect the city manager and department heads to manage within that budget. But we never really take a good look at those investment policies, those financial policies, cash handling policies, all of those things that really go into the management of a large organization. And whether I'm the mayor of a city or the president or CEO of a board of directors or maybe the chairman of a not-for-profit association, it is my responsibility to maintain fiscal integrity and also that taxpayers know that, someone is looking out for their interests when it comes to utility rate increases or you know, the investment policies or the cash reserve fund that the city maintains, to make sure that we're putting that money to good use and that we're not raising taxes or utility rates when we don't need to.
You've mentioned, Mayor Treese, the word transparency at least three times. Transparency is something that journalists really like. What do you mean by transparency? Why is it important to you?
Well, it's important because anything that is created, you know, by a public employee or on a computer that taxpayers purchased belongs to the public. And, you know, look, I was proud to launch in the first year of my term a transparency policy that the city council unanimously adopted that really prioritized sunshine requests so that, you know, look, city employees are busy either stamping documents or moving business license, et cetera. And when a sunshine request comes in, it's hard to put the rest of that project aside and process that sunshine request within the 3 days that the law requires. I wanted there to be a clear message from the City Council that these sunshine requests take priority. But more than that, we launched new online tools that allows people to access public records through the city's website. They can also see what other people have asked for and make sure that we're putting that information available online. I also launched a new open checkbook module that people can access and see exactly where the city receives and spends every dollar that we take in. And to me, that's the best way to restore confidence among taxpayers in their government, is by showing we're wise stewards of precious resources and just to be open, just like families sit around their kitchen table looking at their checkbook and what needs to be cut and where checks are going in and out and where the next paycheck is coming from. You can now do that at the City of Columbia.
We're talking about Columbia and what makes it great and what the challenges are that it needs to tackle to be even better. You're listening to Intersection on KBIA. I'm Janet Saidi. Our guest is Columbia Mayor Brian Treese. You can check out the full conversation and more at kbia.org. You talked with Intersection Mayor Treese a while back about the city's Unified Development Ordinance that went into effect in March 2017. It's coming on 2 years now. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing the impact of that?
We are, and I, you know, look, in I'm so proud of all of our accomplishments in the last 3 years. One of those was the first comprehensive zoning reform in over 40 years to better serve and protect our neighborhoods, to better plan for growth, and to really streamline the process for new investment. And we're just now beginning to see projects that are coming in with that with the full force and effect of that code over the last 12 months. And to me, it, I think, has improved the planning and zoning process. It has made the process clearer for developers, and I'm looking forward to the future of those projects as we continue to move forward into this construction season in 2019.
Do you get any pushback on that at this point, or is it fairly well embraced by developers and citizens alike?
I think everybody's trying to understand it at this point, you know, and especially our great community development staff. You know, this was really intended to remove some of the discretion or decision making from that and really have a framework that allows the developer to put forth a project, if you will, that has the necessary buffer zones between commercial and residential living, that implements appropriate safeguards between single-family homeowners and multifamily homeowners, and you know, encouraging a mixed use of, you know, living and work and retail space in a way that is attractive to our community, that is unique to Columbia, and that kind of reflects, you know, the what we all love about Columbia. So I'm excited to see the projects that we're getting under that new zoning reform. And at the same time, I take great pride and comfort knowing that our neighborhoods and neighborhood associations have the protections that they've needed with respect to, you know, parking overflow from downtown, or, you know, having buffer zones of between rental units and you know, single family home ownership, and to really grow in a way that makes sense, that protects everything that we love about Columbia.
So our city used to have some big knockdown dragouts about development with student housing and the Niedermeyer building.
Right.
Has the Unified Development Ordinance sort of, I'd personally love to think that that's kind of taken care of some of that proactively. Are we going to have a fight like the Niedermeyer fight again?
I you know, it's interesting, having been part of that dialogue.
As the Downtown Leadership Council chair at the time?
Right. And because of my love for historic preservation, we haven't seen that in the last 2 years. And I think that's partly a reflection of the type of mediating leadership that I bring to the table to make sure that both sides are talking to each other. But I think the zoning reform had much needed improvements in that too, to make sure that Columbia is a place for all of us and not just for you know, student residential living. Part of that has to do with having parking, making sure that you are meeting the demand for the parking that you're generating, meeting the demand for the infrastructure and the utilities that you're consuming, and making sure that building really reflects the aesthetic view of what we want our downtown to look like. But more importantly, as we see that development creep out into residential neighborhoods, again, to have that buffer zone between, you know, single-family homeowners, many of whom whom that house is going to be their greatest asset. It's their nest egg, if you will. And we need to value their property rights just as we value the rights of the developers to obtain a fair profit from the property that they seek to improve. And so it's striking that balance and that expectation. I think we've seen that in the types of unanimous approvals that council has been giving to these projects moving forward. I want that type of investment in Columbia, and I think we're beginning to see that.
All right. Another casual question for you, Mayor Chase, before we go. Like, if we're back at Ernie's, or maybe by this time we're at Booch's having a beer, what do you do to unwind? And what's on your Spotify playlist?
Oh, man. I don't have a Spotify playlist. I do have all of my CDs on iTunes. So as much as I consider myself a modern progressive leader, I'm I've got a pretty eclectic music list. You know, it's, I wish I had more time to unwind. The reality is being mayor is more than a full-time job. And it's not just every other Monday at that city council meeting. And particularly this time of year when we've added now a pretty robust citizen engagement process for the new city manager. I have events almost every night, either with stakeholder groups or organizations, or you know, I try to make it to every board and commission meeting at least once a year to at least say thank you, because these are the real volunteers that that dedicate their passion or avocation or expertise to, you know, volunteer on a city board and commission and meet, you know, an hour and a half every month, and hopefully at the end of that year have a have something that they're proud of. So the
iTunes playlist is just going to have to wait until you're not mayor anymore one day.
It will. Yes.
Anything to add that we haven't talked about that you think is very much on your radar and important? Because I could easily be missing something.
Well, one of the things that I'm most proud of is Columbia's record of inclusion and diversity. You know, when I became mayor, Columbia had a C- on the Human Rights Campaign's Municipal Equality Index. And because of pushing for pro-equality changes to our city operations, we have now earned a perfect score the last 2 years in a row. And that's really important for Columbia's economy. Not only is it the right thing to do and how we should treat others, but look, when we make Columbia a welcoming city to live and work, our economy responds enthusiastically. People want to send their kids to college here. They want to move here. They want to start businesses here. And I think that's one of the reasons why Columbia is the only major metropolitan area in the state to grow jobs faster than the country as a whole. And that's something we should be very, very proud of. It's not something that we should take for granted. I'm proud to have voted to appoint a talented and diverse pool of over 166 women to city boards and commissions, because it's important to have a city government that looks like the community it serves. You know, one of the promises I made 3 years ago was to make our government and our economy work for everybody. That's why I've voted against taxpayer giveaways to wealthy special interests, and why I want to take care of those single-family homeowners that are still waiting on their sewer improvement. You know, that's the real legacy that I want for the city of Columbia, and the attitude that I hope has permeated every decision that the city council makes.
Okay, well, thank you, Mayor Chase, for joining us on Intersection.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Intersection. Intersection is produced at KBIA by the news team, Nathan Lawrence, Rebecca Smith, Sebastian Martinez Valdivia, Chris Husted, Ryan Fumuliner, our news director, and directing today's show is Mark Johnson. You can see more on this conversation at KBIA.org. I'm Janet Saidi. Thanks for listening.